All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, and if you would turn to John chapter 3, we'll stand for just a brief moment as I read a couple of scriptures. I'm not going to read a whole lot, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated again. John chapter 3, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, beginning at verse number 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you will drop down to verse number 7, and Jesus says again here, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the privilege, a wonderful privilege to be here this morning in your house. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the privilege that has been entrusted to me, Lord. Father, I thank you first and foremost for saving my soul, Lord, and for keeping me by your power and grace. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here this morning, Lord, in the pastor's absence, Father, to preach to your people the word of God. Lord, I cannot and I do not want to do this in the energy of the flesh, nor would I even try, Lord. But I simply ask you to have total control, Lord, and the best that I know how, Lord, I yield totally to you. I ask you, Father, to take total control of this time. Lord, I ask you to speak to hearts. Lord, I know that all of this message will not be for everyone here. Lord, it won't pertain to everyone here, but Lord, I pray that in the vastness and the deepness and the richness of your holy word, that someone, everyone here this morning, Father, will be able to get something that they can take from here with them, and that they will be glad that they were here to hear it from your word this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, that you would just work in the hearts of people here this morning. Lord, I pray if there's one person here that needs to be saved, that needs to be born again, please, Lord, save them today for Jesus' sake. And Father, we that are saved, name the name of Christ, Lord, help us to continue in our journey. Lord, help us to walk closer with you. Help us to be more determined to do what you have us to do day by day from the heart, Lord willingly. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. Thank you for your power and your grace, your mercy and your love. Have your total will and way. It's my prayer now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now we see, before I do that, let me say a couple of things. When the pastor asked me to preach in his stead, I was immediately struck with the thought, what if I only had one sermon to preach? This is the first time, actually, that I have ever spoken to, I'll call this a large crowd. I have one other opportunity in the past to preach on a Sunday morning, but it was to myself and my family, because we were the only ones there. But, praise God, we were there.
Amen.
And we met, and God bless, but that was, a long time ago. This is the largest Sunday morning crowd that I've ever had the opportunity to preach to. Now, I've preached on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and so forth on a number of different occasions, and I thank the Lord for that. But this is a tremendous opportunity, because a lot of times on Sunday morning, people will come to the Sunday morning service that don't come any other time. And so we normally consider the Sunday morning service as the evangelistic service. They're all evangelistic in one sense or another, but especially on Sunday mornings. At any rate, I began to think, if I only had one sermon to preach, what would I preach about? Well, how about the amazing grace of God?
Amen.
How about the amazing mercy of God?
Amen.
How about the amazing love of God?
Amen.
How about all three?
Amen.
I think they're all three of those attributes are captured right here in the third chapter of John, as we'll see hopefully as we go along this morning. The word must is not suggestive. It is imperative. It is not optional. It is mandatory. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He didn't say you should. You know, it'd be a good idea. Nicodemus didn't consider that. No, he said you must. You must. So I'm gonna try a little experiment this morning, if we might. I think we're pretty much among home folks today. I would like to get your participation in the service, and I'm gonna get you to do it by doing the following thing. I'm going to, from time to time, and you may not know when I'll do it, but because you're gonna have to be paying attention. But you have to be listening on purpose. You have to be watching. But I believe that we're commanded to do that, to watch, pray, and so forth, okay? And I hope you won't fall asleep on me. I hope I'll not be boring, but again, it's not me that I want you to hear, but the Word of God. But this morning, I'm going to give you a visual cue from which I would appreciate an audible response. The visual cue will be this. Okay, everybody see that? The audible response that I would appreciate from you will be the word M-U-S-T or must. Okay? So, I'm going to...
Must.
Okay, must. Now, let's try something. We can do it. Just do it together, okay?
Must.
Oh, but wait, you got to wait for the cue. Don't drop the gun.
Must.
There we go. All right, thank you. Now, I won't do that every time, but you won't know when I do it. So if you're paying attention, hopefully you'll catch it. Okay, here we go. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He's a ruler of the Jews, and he comes to Jesus at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder why. Was he scared? Well, maybe. Was he embarrassed? I don't know. Not really sure. The Bible doesn't tell us why he came, but he did come.
That's right.
He did make the effort. Whether it was at night or daytime, he did come. All right? And this morning, I want to also do something. I want us to notice that there is a statement in verse number 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." That is the statement. There's also a question connected with this message, and we'll wait till we get to the end before we try to answer it. But the question is this. Is it moving day? Is it moving day? Verse 7, John chapter 3, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye
must
be born again." Thank you. And the question, is it moving day? All right. Being born again, let's talk for a few moments on what it isn't, what being born again is not. All right? If you will, being born again is not simply turning over a new leaf. It is not just trying harder and giving it all you got, because all we got is nothing. And is far insufficient to ever get the job done. Being born again is not a matter of more education, regardless of what the NEA might think or say. You know what the NEA is? National Education Administration or Association or whatever they are. It's not a matter of education. If it wasn't a matter of education, why didn't Nicodemus why wasn't he more aware of what was going on here? He was a ruler of the Jews. He was an educated man. Not a matter of education. And John chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? What things? Talking about being born again. Let me back up here to verse number 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he's old? And can he enter in a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Man, that's right.
He cannot. He will not. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, neither where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.
Right.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up,
man, that's right.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Man, that's right.
Being born again is not some emotional experience. Now, there are a lot of churches, quote unquote, that go about a lot of things in different ways, but you don't conjure up salvation.
That's right, brother.
Salvation is a very serious, very instantaneous, and very eternal work of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, brother.
And none else.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of churches where, you know, you have music and you have, did I say it in the Baptist church, dancing and other things like that, but I'm reminded of what the scripture says in Revelation chapter 4. When you get in the presence of God, what does it make you want to do? What happened to Paul on his way to Damascus when he met up with the Lord? The light shone down upon him, knocked him down to the ground.
Uh-huh.
Down on his face. If you will, notice what, you don't have to turn this if you want to just take note. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him and that lived forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We get in God's presence.
Amen.
It ought to drive us to our knees, get on our face before God, and not to lift up ourselves in any way. All right. Being born again. Well, we talked about some things that it definitely is not. So what is it? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God. I want us to look at some scriptures this morning, if you would. First of all, in John chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now hearest the sound thereof, but but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind, the air, it's an intangible. It's there, but you can't see it. But you can feel its effects. When it's blowing hard, you can see the trees bending over, or the lawn chairs going down to the next yard or something like that, if they're the lightweight aluminum kind or whatever. But you can see the effect of the wind. You can't see the wind. It's invisible. The Holy Spirit is invisible, but he's real. He's the third part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he is the one that works in the hearts to bring about, to quicken us and to bring about eternal life when a person is ready to trust God and believe the gospel. Now, John chapter 6, if you would, just a few pages over. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6, 63. The Bible says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life."
Amen.
And this was Jesus speaking these words. If you have a red letter edition, you see the words are in red, signifying that Christ was the speaker here. If you would, just a few pages beyond, a couple of books beyond, Romans. The book of Romans ought to be a familiar book to a lot of us. Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death."
That's right.
Now verse 6 of that same chapter says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace."
Amen.
Now verse 10, same chapter, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you."
Amen.
"Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God."
Amen.
"For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In 2 Corinthians, if you'd like to turn there, just listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to use our Bibles this morning, I trust, because why would we bring them if we're not going to do anything but just set them in the seat beside us, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, just a few verses here. Listen what the Bible says. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." New creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Talking about believers. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
Only in Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, a very familiar passage of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Romans chapter 6, there was so much as I was preparing this, I came across Scripture after Scripture. I want to include that. That's so wonderful. But I said, if I do that, we'll be here till midnight.
Amen.
And then some. But you know what? Paul preached a long sermon, as I recall. In fact, it was so long that there was a young man sitting in the windowsill in the back of the auditorium somewhere. He dozed off and boom. But, praise God, God was gracious, merciful.
Amen.
Paul went back there and resuscitated him. He was all right. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, hopefully none of that. Hopefully none of you would end up in that shape falling out of your chair. But anyway, I hope you won't fall out of your chair. All right. I want to come now to another part of John chapter 3 that is something I want to dwell on for just a few moments. It is the first, as I've shared with you before in my testimony, some of you have heard before, it's the first verse of Scripture that my mother ever taught me. I was 4 years old. She wanted me to know the Word of God at the earliest possible age. And so she began to teach me the Bible. She taught me John 3:16. And I'm sure probably everyone in the room could rattle it off real quickly, know it by heart, know it by memory. But I want us to consider something this morning, if we might. Talking about the amazing grace of God, the amazing love of God, the amazing mercy of God. John 3:16 says, for God. First of all, for God. Not for Buddha, not for Muhammad, not for Confucius, not for any of those people. It says, for God. Almighty God, the God of past, present, and future. Eternity past,
amen.
Present, eternity, future. Eternal God who created. God in the beginning.
Amen.
In the beginning, God.
Amen.
Not anybody else. God. For God. Next, I want us to look at this. And I think we often just skim right over this. We know God loved, but I want us to look at two little letter words. For God so loved. You that are here this morning, I don't see exactly anybody with their spouse, but you that are married anyway, if you were to be with your spouse and you were to turn to them and said, I love you. I'm sure they'd appreciate that, Most people like to be told that they're loved. But if you were to turn to your spouse, or if you were a mother or dad or something, and you turned to your child and you said, not just simply, I love you, I so love you. That adds a little dimension, bit of a different dimension to the meaning, don't you think?
Yeah.
I so love you. For yeah. God so loved the world. Well, not the creation, not the planet. We're talking about people. Us. You and me. For God so loved the world, He was moved to action. What action? Glad you asked. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. God so loved you and I that He gave Jesus.
Amen.
That whosoever, that's any of us,
that
believeth in Him should not perish. That word perish means to die, and not just the physical death, but the spiritual death, separation for all of eternity in a place called hell, which ultimately will be the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever, where the devil and the false prophet and the beast and all of those that have rejected God's free gift of salvation are going to end up. Now, God didn't create hell for us. He created it for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
But unfortunately, it's going to be the final abode of those that miss out on God's free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, God could have said, yeah, bunch of peons, why should I mess with them? No, God so loved us. He gave Jesus. You know, I used to watch a program. I don't see it anymore because I don't have any TVs at work. But I used to watch a program. It was a police show called, I believe the name of it was Flashpoint. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it or not. It was about a special response, kind of a tactical special response police unit, like SWAT or something like that. And they would respond to hostage situations and various crimes and so forth where it was necessary to take the bad guy out. And they would have this group of, this team of snipers that would surround the area and so forth. And some of them were in a place where they could get a good shot off, if you will, if they had to. And whoever usually got into position first and so forth indicated to the team leader the words, "I have the solution." I have the solution. Which meant he was in position to take out the bad guy. In the fall of the garden, that didn't take God by surprise. He already had the solution to the problem.
Yeah.
And it would be Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm reminded, as we've studied here recently, about Abraham, at least the men have, Abraham and his son Isaac, as they went. And God had told Abraham, had tested him to see if he would follow through and offer his only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice to God. And so Abraham and Isaac left. They took wood. They took fire. They had a knife. And the two of them, and they went. They went and kept going until God showed them the place that he wanted them to be.
Yep.
And they had a couple of helpers with them. And they finally came to the place where God wanted them to be and where God wanted the sacrifice to take place. And he showed Abraham. And so Abraham and Isaac went on. Abraham told his helpers, his men that were with him, he said, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but the lad and I, we're going to go yonder and we'll come back. We'll come again. That's what he told them.
That's right.
Well, they didn't know any different. They didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
But Isaac gets up there, and they're on top of the mountain where God led them to. And Isaac asked his dad a question. Father, see, we've got wood. See, we have fire. Obviously, they had something to kill the sacrifice, but where? It's the lamb for the sacrifice. He didn't realize, I guess, until the last moment as Abraham began to bind him and lay him down, and he was going to be the sacrifice. But God had already promised Abraham that he was going to raise up an innumerable multitude of people, well, through Isaac. Well, if he has to slay Isaac, how's that going to happen? Well, God's going to raise him back to life if he has to.
Sure.
But he didn't have to. Instead, as Abraham raised the knife to plunge it into the body of his son, God called out from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham," he said, "Here am I. You don't have to do this. Now I know that you were willing to sacrifice your only son."
Amen.
And so, to answer Isaac's question, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham told Isaac, God will provide himself.
Man, that's right.
A sacrifice,
that's
a lamb.
Right, right.
And he did that. Yeah. Jesus Christ,
yeah,
the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. He provided himself. In conclusion, we know what being born again is not, And we know what it is, I believe now, clearly from the scriptures. Now, I know that in one sense I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning. And that term means that you're preaching to people that are already saved. Well, praise God. That's wonderful. But maybe in this message something was said. You heard something from the scriptures that got your attention. And I believe that you can read a passage of scripture. You can read it, reread it, reread it, reread it again, and keep on reading it a dozen times, 50 times, 100 times. You'll never exhaust the depth of God's word.
Right.
It's just impossible. It's as infinite as He is. So we've heard this morning about being born again, and I don't know your hearts today. I can't see everyone's heart, or anyone's heart, really. God sees your heart. God knows your heart. And I trust that the majority, if not the entirety, of the people here are saved and born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, You must. It wasn't optional. It wasn't a suggestion. He said, you must be born again. And so He said to Nicodemus, so He says to you and I, we must be born again.
Right.
Well, if we've been born again, well, then what? Well, if you're saved, you don't need to get saved again. Yeah. Praise God. We have one physical birth, the flesh, that gets us into this life.
Right.
When we come to God and we allow the Holy Spirit to do God's work of grace in our lives, we are born again spiritually. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again.
Amen.
That we might have eternal life.
Amen.
We do not have to die physically and be buried and rise again in order to obtain eternal life. He accomplished that for us already. The finished work on the cross at Calvary.
Right.
He took care of that. So, being born again is a spiritual death to flesh, to the self.
Yes.
A spiritual burial with Christ by baptism. We're buried with Christ in baptism. It's symbolic. We identify with His death when we're baptized. And you can't get baptized till you get saved. You got to be born again first, then you get baptized. But as you're buried under that water, like as a person is put under the dirt, in the grave, out of sight, and then raised to new life.
Amen.
Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. It's a spiritual beginning. We have a physical beginning. Now, how many of us had any say-so in our physical beginning? Did you have any choice over who your parents were? I didn't. I don't know about you, but I didn't. What about when they met? Where they met? When they decided to have you? I didn't have any choice in it. I don't think you did either. It's a little different when we come to the spiritual birth, though.
Right.
We have a choice. We can either say yes, or we can say no. You say, well, I'm just undecided. I don't know. We can either say yes, or we can say no. One way or the other. Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Ye be born again. So we come now to the question that I attached at the beginning. Is it moving day? Is it moving day? Well, what do you mean by that, Brother DeShazo? Well, thank you. I'm glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 11. If you'd care to turn there right quickly. We'll be done in just a moment or two. I promise. Although, when you're a preacher and you say, in conclusion, this is the last, we'll be done, I'll be finished, and God brings something else to your remembrance, well, hang on, folks. You just got to go with the Spirit.
Amen, brother.
Got to go with the Spirit. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Right, amen.
Now, John chapter 6 and verse 37 if you want to turn in. I've got about one more scripture, and then we will be done. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And now one last scripture, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the speaker here. Amen. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Amen.
For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For God so loved the world that he was moved to action.
Right.
He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is it moving today? He said, well, what do you mean? I mean, if you're here today, and like I said, I can't see your heart, and maybe everyone in here is already saved. And that's a wonderful thing if that be true. But if there's one, even one here this morning, that has never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, never been born again, as he told Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must. Maybe you need to move today. Maybe you need to move out of the driver's seat of your life and let Jesus take the wheel. Let him have control. Let him take you from here on to glory in his time and in his way and in his love, mercy, and grace. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the message. The message I believe that you wanted me to bring. So Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bless your word this morning as it's gone forth. I thank you, Father, for the promise in your word that it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it, where you sent it to, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that if there's one here this morning that needs to move today, Father, they need to move. They need to take action, Lord. They need to take that step of faith and come to Jesus. Lord, you said, if any man come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, thank you that we can confidently come to you, Lord. We can humbly come to you. Lord, we can, in desperate need, Lord, come. And you won't cast us out, but you'll take us in. Lord, thank you for every person that's saved here this morning, Lord. I pray, God, that if they're saved and they're baptized, Lord, that they're a member of a good local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, fundamental Baptist church such as this one, Lord. Or if they're not, I pray, God, that you would speak to them, Lord, about being a member. But, Lord, I pray, God, that you would work in every heart and life your will according to your Holy Spirit. Father, please bless the invitation now as we get ready to extend it, Lord. And Father, we pray that you'll move in hearts, Lord, that you will be done, that Christ be lifted up. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. But as we begin to have the music play in just a few moments, Lord, we pray that you'll move in our hearts and our lives. Lord, those that need to come to the altar and do business with you, Lord, would come. Lord, as the Spirit leads. Have your total will and way, Lord, and we'll ever thank you and praise you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.